Hey, everybody. Welcome to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. And we're investigative researchers who uncover true history like Hitler's search for relics of power. We expose covered up truths like the big oil industrial complex and its hold on the world's energy. We share funny and weird things we find like UFO and Bigfoot sightings. And we explore humanity's buried potential like the power of mind and near-death experiences. And we've got some big news to share. Edge of Wonder's newest series, The War on Children, premieres tonight at 9 p.m. on Rise.tv, and it's all about the sexual content and kids' programming. Did you know that children are being programmed and groomed by hidden sexual content and subliminal messages? We thought this topic was so important to talk about after we did a deep dive that we have two episodes coming out to talk about it. Tonight, at the end of this live show, we're going to have a live watch party to see the episode together exclusively on our platform, Rise.tv. So you can hear all the crazy research we did and let us know what you think in the live chat. And we'll be playing a clip from that first War on Children episode while we're still on Rumble. So if you're watching us there, thanks for being with us. And don't worry, while we're on Rumble, we're going to be talking about some crazy things related to this topic of children trafficking, the Chinese Communist Party, Hollywood child actors, and more.
Plus, have you seen Hulu's new Victoria's Secret documentary? After all, the mainstream media started talking about it, so I watched it myself. They're highlighting connections between Victoria's Secret founder Les Wexner and child trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. But guilty or not, is Wexner just the latest scapegoat, taking attention away from the full list of powerful clients that Epstein dealt with? And it's not all doom and gloom tonight, because we found some human trafficking stings that have been going on unnoticed, and we'll be talking about that. Our War on Children series is about sexual content and children's programming itself, like what was snuck into Turning Red, Hercules, Hunchback of Notre Dame, SpongeBob, Ren and Stimpy, and of course, Shrek. But we wanted to do this live War on Children pre-show about some of the things going on in the news. We're about to jump into these topics now and blow your mind with what we found out about Jeffrey Epstein's flight log and so much more. But first, check out this trailer for our War on Children series. If you like it and want to see the episode when it comes out tonight, come over to subscribe to Rise.tv. It's just $9.99 a month, and we share content like this, plus movies, comedy, and shows from other content creators. So let's get started with this pre-show. All right, we'll see you out
on the edge.
For sure.
There's a war on children, and its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
Well, hey.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, my lighting is really dark, and the app was updating, and I don't know what's going
on.
You look
like you're in a spaceship, Ben.
That's kind of cool, actually.
This is your alien spaceship day.
My alien spaceship day. Yeah. So, well, I hope everyone is having a pretty good week. How about you, Rob? How's things going?
Yeah, pretty good week. Very intense show tonight with kind of the subject matter of what we're talking about. You know, when it has anything to do with children, it's just one of those things. Like, we have got to get the word out there about what's going on, because parents, everybody needs to know. I mean, the fact that they're covering this stuff up is beyond deplorable. I don't know what other word to use, really. You know, it's just totally degenerate that children would be the focus of this stuff, and it gets more and more sexual, and there's more and more stuff happening to kids every year. I mean, never mind, you know, the critical race theory stuff, and even the agendas that are actually trying to push kids to make decisions before their faculties are developed enough to be able to make those decisions, you know?
Seriously, it's like, while we're arguing over a child's gender, I mean, the Chinese students in third grade are learning like geometry and algebra. it's like, what the heck, you guys, you know? I mean, dude, this wasn't like, can you imagine in like the 80s and 90s, if this were to happen, these conversations?
Well, you know, it never would, because in the 80s and the 90s, there was a little thing called the Cold War, and it had, you know, whether you believe that or not, and that was really a thing or going on, the fact of the matter is that anything that would make America look weak in another country's eyes would not be a part of the agenda. And now it's like, think about what this is doing. Like,
so
the
true,
opposite,
man.
You know,
yeah.
You have Russia and China making fun of us for this stuff outwardly, that, you know, that these are the people that are in charge in America, and America thinks that that's strength somehow. And, you know, the thing is that these things are being pushed on people, and people deserve to be able to make their own decisions. That's what I think, like, fundamentally, without any kind of propaganda, just propaganda I'm against in general.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I mean, and that's like, also that goes along with the silent weapons for quiet wars. When you really look at it, it was, the whole thing was like, well, we'll focus on the children. And, you know, that's kind of what you were talking about was, you know, it's like, we think of, yeah, it's like we're thinking like the war on children is kind of like what we're being programmed with movies and television and all these things. But the school system is a major, major, major part of that. And that's
it is,
you know, and they did it over a long period of time. It wasn't like, you know, if this came out in the 60s, it was like, okay, this was like a 50-year kind of plan.
You know, Ben, I mean, it just really comes down to, why are we not paying attention to quotes from guys like, you know, Lenin, who spoke very, very clearly about what he could do if he got, you know, if he got a hold of children at a young age, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been in the communist playbook for decades now, that if they have control over the younger generations, they can turn an entire society socialist and then communist very quickly.
Yeah. And really, when you look at Klaus Schwab's recent, who's the, you know, the head of the WEF, right? Yeah. The World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at his quotes and you compare them to like Marx and Lenin and even some Stalin and stuff and Mao, it's like, dude, he's saying very similar things. It's just, he's wording it in a very like crafty way.
And there's a very thin line between fascism and communism. There's a very thin line between Nazis and communists. Very, very thin line. You could argue all day long who's worse, but at the end of the day, there is that famous quote by Hitler, who basically said that he was communism or Marxism realized, stripped of its Jewish Talmudic dogma.
Yep.
You know, so you could really like it was basically the argument out there is like, who had the purest version of communism? And they're all just murderers. Like yeah. History has shown
and
proven that anyone who gets a hold of socialism and communism becomes a big murderer.
And then of course, that's exactly what, you know, it's like what's written on the Georgia Guidestones now that it's been destroyed, but it's like,
which by the way, you know, okay. So those Georgia Guidestones echo eugenicists, which, so it's a little bit more forward, but it's very, very similar. Most of those things in the Georgia Guidestones are very similar to the UN's goals, sustainable development goals by 2030.
Oh yeah. The sustainable,
very similar. Oh, aside yeah, from that first one, right? The first one was like the population must be kept at like
at 500 million.
Yeah, 500 million.
It's crazy. It's totally crazy.
It's like a fraction of the world's population. Now, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just so ridiculous. Like,
it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Totally.
So yeah, but there's a lot going on, right? I mean, you dug all day long on Les Wexner because he's on the hot seat right now and connected to Epstein in so many ways, right? So
yeah. So I watched the documentary on Hulu. I didn't get, there's three episodes about an hour long. I didn't get through all of the third one, but I watched the first two. And you know, it's pretty interesting. Because they really just focus on Les Wexner. And okay, so I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Everyone in Ohio knows Les Wexner because he owns everything.
The malls.
He owns most of the malls. In fact, it was kind of interesting because there's a mall called Polaris that was out. So he opened this mall called Easton. It's basically Wes Lexner's mall. And in fact, it's probably one of the most beautiful malls in middle America, honestly. It's a fantastic mall. And soon after that, there was another mall that opened up kind of in the same area called Polaris. And Wes Lexner refused to put any of his brands in that mall. Now they're in there. But it was like definitely like a conflict. And when Easton opened, there was other malls that closed down that were older. There was a mall called Westland Mall. We used to call it Wasteland because it was just such a... It was horrible. Anyway, but you know, one thing that I realized watching this documentary is that how the mall has been shaped and used as a marketing tool and getting like so many people to shop there was really the master, like Les Wexner was really the mastermind behind that. Like
he's like
really,
the grandpappy of the malls in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, they were already there before he came there, but he kind of like, he changed them. He made them more modern, made them like hip and cool. And it's just like, this is where you want to go to shop. And then he had, you know, and like, I kind of forgot all the
when
brands.
When did he do
had.
All this? In the 90s?
So this is in the 80s, actually.
Okay, so then the Starcourt Mall in...
Yeah,
I mean, things was fairly accurate then.
Honestly, it was. Yeah. So he owns the Limited, Express, Lane Bryant, Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works, Abercrombie and Fitch, and the White Barn Candle Company. And,
he owns all of those?
Yeah.
I really lost a lot of respect for him knowing that Abercrombie and Fitch. I cannot get that smell out of my nose every time I walk by there.
Now, I don't know if he still owns all of these. These were the brands. Now, some of these he bought, you know, it wasn't like he started them. Like Victoria's Secret, I didn't know this, but he purchased it. It was a boutique, small, very small company, and it was going, it was on the verge of like bankruptcy, and he purchased it and then changed it to what it is. And one of the.
Turn this into the biggest catalog in the world.
Yeah, it was really fascinating because. That was all his, like this didn't exist before him. And he created this whole campaign with marketing. And he was like, you know, let's create a catalog that both men and women would want, you know? So it was very fascinating how he did this. The other thing I didn't know is that most of the executives in Victoria's Secret were all women. There was only two that were at the top, which was Les Wexner and this guy named Ed, I can't remember his last name. And
If you're going to work with a business partner, his name should be Ed.
His name should be Ed. Yeah, so it was just kind of interesting because I felt that, you know, and then, well, later then he goes to New York. So after he's kind of like dominated Columbus and, you know, a lot of like middle America, his stores are everywhere, you know, then he decides to go to New York and he buys Henry Bendel, which is a very luxury lingerie company in New York. And he bought it. And a lot of people in New York were up in arms about it. They didn't want him purchasing it because they felt like, you know, he was going to make it mainstream. They didn't want it mainstream. But what made him so smart is that he would go to like very, very high end fashion companies and go into their stores and pick up a sweater. And it was like a cashmere sweater for women, you know? And so he would give it to his designers and say, make this sweater, make it like $30 and make it feel the same material, but not made of cashmere. And so this like sweater came out called the Fendi. I can't remember now, of our Forwinza sweater. And he kind of started building his empire on the sweater. So if you look at anything in the 80s, if anyone's wearing a sweater, it's probably one of the sweaters.
Dude, I totally, like, as soon as you said that, I knew the exact sweaters you were talking about. That's crazy.
They sold like millions of them. And they were like,
that was
fairly
Les
cheap.
Wexner behind that.
Yeah, that was all his. Yeah, that was what he did. And they were like, and, you know, it started becoming in like,
next, Ben's going to tell us that Les Wexner was also behind the shoulder pads in the 80s. I'm just kidding.
I don't know about that one. That would be pretty funny though. But yeah, so all of this was like really fascinating. So one thing he did do before anyone else, he was the first company that really went to China in the 80s and was like, I need to make these cheaper. What can we do? Let's outsource this.
Let's use a labor camp.
Yeah, basically that's kind of what happened. But
yeah,
it sounds like it was more through Hong Kong and not directly through China. But then
Hong Kong is like a million times better than China. Hong Kong was free. It was the, you know, financial center of Asia and owned basically and run by the British at that time.
Yeah. It's very true. So, and you know, one of the things that was I found kind of fascinating is that no one wanted to model for Victoria's Secret in the 80s and 90s because it was like where you kind of went at the end of your career. So they had a hard time recruiting models.
So he changed that to where you start your career.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was one of the things that they, so as soon as they, so in the 90s, late 90s, that's, in fact, it was the Super Bowl commercial of 1999 where they brought in the Angels, you know, and it crashed their website. It was the first time ever where a company was really promoting their website through the Super Bowl 1999, and it crashed the site. And then after that, every supermodel wanted to do Victoria's Secret.
We got a funny comment here from Sin Rose. She said, do you know what Victoria's Secret is? She's a dude.
That's pretty
like
funny.
A lady.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But, you know, okay, so how this all relates to Jeffrey Epstein is because slowly he starts working with Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, and the one thing I have to say is that there was nothing that I found where any woman was accusing Les Wexner of any kind of sexual abuse.
So just recently, even you've not found any women accusing Les Wexner of any kind of
nothing that I
foul
could find.
Play in the office.
Yeah, he honestly seems like, well, there was a lot of rumors that actually he was gay because it was almost maybe because of that. But he had a very, his mother really dominated his life, actually. And he was dating a woman, but she wasn't Jewish, and his mom forced him to end the relationship. So that was kind of weird. Now, I mean, he did end up marrying.
That can be a thing in the Jewish culture.
Right? Yeah, definitely. It can be. So he gets, so somehow, okay, so Jeffrey Epstein was at his very first Victoria's Secret fashion show in the 90s. It was like 91 or 92 or something like that. So Jeffrey Epstein is there. Somehow he gets connected with him.
How did anyone see the stage when Jeffrey Epstein was there and his head was blocking it? That's the question. Yeah,
seriously.
Biggest head ever. All right, anyway.
Yeah, so then, you know, he starts kind of working with him. And this is where it gets kind of weird, because then all of a sudden, so that's when Jeffrey Epstein purchased his Wexner's home in New York for $20 million, which was actually like probably under than the actual
the
price.
Home, the infamous home of infamous Jeffrey home. Epstein on whatever that was, 87th Street or whatever. That's that was Wexner's before it was Epstein's.
Yes. Yes. So he sold it.
So were the tunnels there before or after is the question.
if there really are tunnels, I would probably say before. I think, you know, so, okay. After kind of, so then it, you know, gets into all of this. And then one of the girls complained to Les Wexner directly about Epstein, because he invited her to his home. She went there in New York to, like, you know, do these photographs. And she said he like touched her inappropriately and stuff and reported it. He said he would talk to him and look into it. And it didn't, this was like in 94 or something like that, 94, 96, somewhere around there. So it didn't really look like anything was done. But this whole entire documentary really just throws him under the bus. Mm. And I'm kind of like, you know, I don't have to get in all the details of everything else that happens in this thing, but I kind of feel like, so
this documentary, Lindsay, can you pull up this documentary, like what it looks like, the thing, just so that people can see where it is and everything.
The Hulu one?
Yeah. So yeah, it's on Hulu, or like just the trailer or whatever. You can show it while we're talking. Yeah, that's a really good idea, Rob. So yeah, I kind of feel like, okay, he's in the Midwest. He goes to New York. I almost feel like a lot of people in New York were kind of threatened by him, because he was an outsider. You know, he wasn't in the New York scene like everybody else. Also, he's not
sounds
a politician.
Like Trump.
Yeah, actually, it's true. And he's not a politician. And I think this kind of made, and because he owns Victoria's Secret, this made him like, this was like a key target for Epstein. And if I were to guess, I think that there was, and it does mention, I'm shocked it even says this in the documentary. It's not until the second episode, but the documentary then goes like, you know, it's almost like Epstein had some kind of power over Les Wexner. Right. Hmm. And it's like, I think this might be true, you know, from my interpretation.
Wasn't Epstein known for blackmailing people? Like, wasn't that a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And that came out later. Yeah. Once he got arrested. Yes. So, you know, supposedly in his home, which was owned by Les Wexner, and that in the New York home, supposedly there was a whole safe of like DVDs and USBs and all kinds of stuff of blackmail on everybody. I personally think, I don't think he had any necessarily maybe any blackmail directly on Les Wexner, but I think that there was a power that was over him, because, you know, he's tied to Prince Andrew. And what's crazy, and this is the part that kind of blew my mind out of this entire documentary. So
you just said he's, what about Prince Andrew?
But Prince Andrew, you know, visited Epstein's island, no, you know, and there's photos and stuff. So right. I think from my interpretation, when Les Wexner wanted to do something, I think he probably got a phone call from somebody extremely high up and was like, you can't touch Epstein. Like I actually, and he signed over complete power of attorney to Epstein and his entire company. So Epstein,
which
had
company,
like,
which company, Ben?
All of them, everything. Yeah. This is what's nuts. And even in the documentary, they're like, why in the world? Because Les Wexner, he wasn't the kind of person to like hire people and then say, okay, like manage the whole company. You know, I'm going to take a step back. Like he was hands-on on every aspect, but especially Victoria's Secret. He was like 100% hands-on. He worked with all of his executives really closely. So the fact that he would do this is a huge question mark. And they can't figure it out in the documentary. Even the women talking were like, it doesn't really make sense. And no one is really criticizing Les Wexner so much in this documentary. They're talking about like sexualizing women and stuff, but it's not like no one can directly say this guy was really bad and he did X, Y, Z. Like that's not talked about. The only thing that's really they can criticize him with is his connection to Epstein and kind of like, you know, the Victoria's Secret being sexualized and everything else. But it's interesting because even the women kind of backed what he was saying about how he wanted to create a space that was comfortable for women that, you know, they want to go to Victoria's Secret and shop and everything else. Yeah, because that didn't exist prior to that, especially in a mall, not like that. So he literally created that entire environment that didn't exist previously. But sorry, this is kind of long-winded, Rob. Then I'll kind of ask you some questions and we can get into it. But the most shocking aspect was this woman that Epstein coaxed to like come into. So in Columbus, Ohio, in New Albany, Les Wexner's home is there, and it's actually on One White Barn Road, which is probably where he came up with the name, you know, White Barn for his company. And then next to it, in fact, we have a link on Google Maps, Lindsay, if you want to pull it up. I have a link there that shows Epstein's compound. But anyway, so this woman, and then just zoom in on that. And make sure it's on the satellite view and then zoom in on that thing. And you'll see this like crazy home there. Go up slightly. This whole thing is the home, but go up and then, zoom out a little bit. Sorry. And go there, right there. That is Epstein's like compound. And then to the right of that is Les Wexner's home. Further right even. Further right over there, that white thing, that's Wes Lexner's place.
Oh, wow. So they're right next to one another.
Yeah. So that whole thing is Epstein's, but I don't know how often he was there. And I don't know if the whole thing was eventually sold to Epstein. A lot of that was unclear, but anyway, this woman was there at the compound and she was told like, oh, hey, you're going to come to this beautiful place and you can just do whatever you want. And it's very beautiful. And we have swimming pools and all this stuff. And she's like, okay. So she goes there and she was pretty young and she realized she was basically being held captive. Like she couldn't do anything. There was guard dogs. There was people guarding everywhere. There was, she had to tell them when she wanted to go outside. And after a month, she said that Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell raped her. So she called the police, or I'm sorry. First, she called 911 the day after. It was like either the night or the day after it happened. And she locked herself up in her room and barricaded the door, called 911. 911 put her on hold and then they hung up on her. Then she called the police and the police said to her, "We're already here." And she realized that they are the ones guarding the compound. So in other words, no one's helping her. And that's pretty much, and they don't really go into that in the documentary. I'm like, you guys, what the heck is going on here? Like that means that Epstein is controlling the police and
yes, what's he has happening? Them all blackmailed, paid like, off, whatever.
So who is this guy? And you know, then it makes me wonder, like, is Les Wexner just another
like pawn
in this whole thing where he
because you know, Ben, the only, it doesn't make sense that they attack him now like this, unless he is just a pawn that they're going to benefit from throwing under the bus.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, if you look at everything you just said, it doesn't look necessarily like Wexner. Okay. We don't know what blackmail Epstein had on him. Maybe it was bad. Maybe it was bad stuff. But if we're talking about levels of bad dirtball people. Epstein is like of the highest caliber dirtball, and you've got Wexner who's just being used by him, probably controlled. Yep. That's pretty crazy.
That's what I think. And and then of course the documentary shows Trump and Epstein quite a bit in that photo, you know, that they're together.
This is the liberal agenda to try to demonize.
And I'm like, what? But then by the second episode, they finally show Prince Andrew and Epstein together. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad they at least showed that. And they do mention Clinton, and they mention that Clinton and Trump both have ties to Epstein.
Did they mention Bill Gates at all?
Nothing, dude.
Doesn't he appear on the Lolita Express list more than almost anyone else?
Yeah, him and Bill Clinton. Yeah. Bill Clinton's name came up 150 times when I did a search for it, and we'll show that pretty soon on the document that I have. But it was just nuts because it's like, okay, you know, and then you go back to Elon's tweet where it's like, are we ever going to see the client list? Why isn't anyone being arrested for this? And instead this whole thing is focused on Les Wexner, who doesn't even look like he even flew to his island actually. so the only thing they hit him against is like, okay, sexualizing women and everything, but it was like he created a massive brand and he did know what he was doing, and like everyone wanted to be a part of it until, you know, the Me Too movement started. And then of course, cancel culture, and it's like, you know, all this stuff and whatever, but it's just really, really weird. And then they make it look like that the document the documentary makes it look like that just Epstein and Maxwell, just the two of them. And it was like a Bonnie and Clyde. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
so not true.
Come
so
on, you
know, just like, yeah,
like,
well, you guys, we're gonna play a trailer right now, and this trailer is related to the topic, which is a series that we did called Trafficked, some episodes here. And anyway, you guys should check this out on rise.tv if you haven't. It was very well researched and done, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about the war on children and moving away from this, talking more about just craziness in Hollywood. So stick around and we'll get into that.
Yeah. And the flight log.
And the flight log.
What is human trafficking? How are people trafficked? Why don't we hear about it when it happens? Are the same organizations meant to protect us actually the ones orchestrating the billion-dollar human traffic industry? Join us for the newest three-part original series, Trafficked, as we shine the light into every dark corner of this reality. Trafficked Part 1, Money, Power, Rule.
All right. Well, crazy opening to show there. That does not surprise me about Wexner that much, because once one of these millionaires, you know, not without exception, but once one of these millionaires gets into the onto the news, mm-hmm. you know, even like Harvey Weinstein, like Weinstein was the only one, you know, like same thing. It's like they're just throwing one guy under the bus to as a shield to all of these other people behind it, you know.
Exactly. And I almost think that maybe it was more of like the empire that Les Wexner built that they were, you know, going after or threatened or whatever, but there was definitely something going
on. That's kind of what I think is like, it's very hard to stay clean at that level of business, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you get up there and it's like, if you're a little bit dirty, it can get taken advantage of, you know.
It's so true. And it is really bizarre, and it just sucks that. And actually, one thing I want to say that Les Wexner at the opening of this whole entire documentary said a quote, and he said, "People remember the villains more than they remember the heroes." And I started thinking about that, and it's like, dude, it's all the media. It's whatever the media wants to focus on. If they focus on the villains, you know, and all like the serial killers and the documentaries and everything else, it's like, you know, that's what people remember. If it's the hero's story and they don't really tell that story that much, then of course you're not going to know those stories.
Yeah.
So yeah. What do you think? Right.
It's our society is set up like this. Like, people are more fascinated with like bizarre, strange psychology than they are with like really exceptional, righteous people. And I think it has to change, because it's dragging everyone down. Mm-hmm. You know, like every day people are getting dragged down by this over and over. Never mind our children, which we're going to be talking about in a second, who are now they're starting at a very young age with these things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I had no idea until today. I just didn't know this, that Tyra Banks, you know, and she was one of the,
one of the Victoria's Secret angels or whatever.
Yes. And she's on the flight log a lot, but she started her career at 15 years old on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like
15's too young.
Yeah. I mean, for something like this, it's like,
15's too young. I remember this cover when I was a kid. Yeah.
I mean, actually, this came out in 97, so I would have been 17. So it's like, it's just weird. It really is. And it's like, why are you putting a 14 or 15, even if she's 15, like, why, what's the point of putting her on there? Like, just wait till whoever's 18 years old, you know? But obviously there's something else going on.
All right, real quick. Yeah. Can you get into the flight log so we can move on to the onto Hollywood? Oh,
dude, I don't even know if we can go through this real quick, but actually, Lindsay, I'm going to show it just because it'll be easier for me to kind of go through it, because I have gone through this thing. But Rob, look at this thing. It starts at 1991. And it dates every single time that Epstein took his flight. And Columbus, Ohio is on here a lot. I had no idea.
Cleveland, Columbus.
Yeah. And these are the passengers. So at first it's just kind of like, and everything highlighted in yellow is kind of, it's kind of an important date, or either something happened or, like, for example, this is highlighted 1991, Ghislaine Maxwell's father died. That's when he falls off a yacht overboard and dies. So that starts this whole entire thing. And then it doesn't really get super crazy until we start kind of getting into the later 90s, when we start seeing more famous names. Like, okay, Donald Trump is on here. This is from Washington to Teterboro, New Jersey, Palm Beach to Washington. Also, it's like his whole family, Trump's whole family is there. Well, most of like, no, no, I'm sorry. Marla, Tiffany, Nanny, Mark Middleton. Okay. I'm sorry. It's not Trump's whole family, but Trump is there. And again, it's not to his private island. And that's what everyone is freaking out about, but it's like Trump never went to his private island.
It's the private island you got to worry about, you know, the Ellen show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So true. You know, and then in same thing with Les Wexner. I haven't really seen anything with Les Wexner going to his island. So that's why, you know, I don't know what kind of relationship they really had. But I typed in Clinton's name. Like, if I do a search for Bill Clinton here, well, actually, let me just do Clinton in general.
136.
Now, granted, that's not all on the flight log itself. Some of that is like they're talking about Clinton, but what's weird is that Epstein went to Arkansas quite a bit.
Okay, wait a minute. But can you delete that and type in Epstein?
Okay, we'll type in Epstein.
Yep.
Oh man, that's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I want to see. Got to spell it right, bro.
Yeah.
You missed the S.
Epstein. Oh, Epstein.
Epstein.
Sorry.
You got an extra S after E.
Ah, man, sorry. Man,
E-I-N, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay,
yeah, so see that three. So, okay, think about this for a minute. This whole flight log is about Epstein, and he's mentioned 332 times. Clinton is mentioned 136, was it? 136 times?
Yeah.
I think that Jeffrey Epstein is sometimes just marked as J-E, though, so that's a lot more times than 300.
Okay.
That is a really good point. And actually, I think Bill Clinton might be the same thing. Yeah, if I type in BC, you get 41. So, well, that's destination, but yeah, because sometimes they shorten the names on here. You're right, Lindsay. But still, that is crazy. So if I type in Jeffrey Epstein, J-E.
What about Wexner? Can you put in Wexner there?
Yeah.
Times.
42. But again, okay, so this is saying that he attended Les Wexner's 59th birthday. Okay, so that's all from that.
How about LW?
LW. Okay, we can look at that. I want to kind of see if there's any flight log through this. Okay, so this is where in 1991, Les Wexner signs over power of attorney to Jeffrey Epstein. Retains power for the next 16 years.
That don't make no sense unless blackmail was involved. You don't just do that.
It's almost like, I actually think that Les Wexner was just not part of the group, you know, and it was like,
what's insane about this though, is why doesn't anyone ask that question? Why would a businessman like Les Wexner sign over power of attorney? Only two reasons. One is you're in league with Epstein, and two is you're being blackmailed by Epstein. Otherwise, why do it? But you don't hear that. You just hear, oh, he was in league with Epstein. That just shows how little critical thinking the mainstream media is supporting really in society.
Yeah, seriously. That's exactly what it's showing. It's like this documentary. It's like what you just said, Rob. They don't ask questions in the documentary.
No they and guide also, you to think it's only this part of the story that, you know, and then they leave all of this stuff open. And they did the same thing with Don't F with Cats and Netflix, that documentary.
Exactly.
They point out all of this stuff, and then they point you to this conclusion that they're saying happened. And then you're left with, wait a minute, what about all of this other stuff that you pointed out during the show that you like doesn't make sense with any of that? You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't at all. It doesn't at all. And also the other thing that I thought of is how they edit this. You know, we have no idea. I'm sure these interviews are lasting probably like 2 hours each one. And then they're editing it down to only put like, you know, maybe 20 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes of each person's interview in these. We have no idea. They might have like, all of them might have been talking about like the flight logs and who's on this. And they might have been like, oh, this is too much to put into this documentary. We're not going to talk about the flight logs. So anyone that mentions flight logs, we're going to leave that out. And that's, we don't know. We have no idea. And the only way we could ever find out is if the people who are interviewed also speak out about that. And it's like, you know, and there was definitely an underlying agenda about Trump. And that's what kind of bothered me too. It's like, why you guys are so focused on Trump? It's like Bill Gates 37 times. Why can't you mention Bill Gates? But this is fascinating because I found this. I did want to mention this. So in 2002, Bill Clinton, 4 Secret Service, 1 female who it doesn't name, Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, a person with the initials SK and AP, flew from Miami to White Plains, New York. I mean, that's just really strange. Now, granted, Bill Clinton wasn't president during this time, so he always has Secret Service people with him. But this is crazy because he was with Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. So, and
who's
there
SK and AP? We don't know.
That's, I'm not sure. I'm not, I kind of wish I knew, but some of these, it doesn't, the SK is on here a lot. Here's another SK. It might be in the very beginning of this, and then there's, you know, Virginia Roberts. That's the girl that is in one of the photos that really came out against everything. She was kind of one of the main whistleblowers. But I wish I knew who SK was, and maybe somebody else will be able to figure it out. It might say it in the beginning of this, but this is like you have to realize, like, look how many entries this has. This has over like 5,000. Oh, 3,000. I'm sorry. There's like a ton of entries in this thing anyway. And like I said, it goes from all the way from 91 and then it stops at 2019. And he was arrested in Teterboro, New York or New Jersey on July 6th. So it literally goes every single date that he ever flew from his first flight to his very last flight.
Mm.
So whoever put this together, This is like a massive, massive list. And it's like, again, why doesn't the FBI look into this? Maybe this is all fake.
Sarah Kellen.
But it's like nobody is looking into it.
So that could be SK, yeah. Ben. Sarah Kellen.
Oh, Sarah Kellen. Oh, yeah, dude. That's got to be her. Wow. That's crazy.
Now, the Lolita Express was servicing high-level billionaires and politicians, et cetera, et cetera. But what about Hollywood? I mean, there's so much evidence that people are being mistreated sexually in Hollywood, and we're going to actually go through some of that now, along with some shows that have strange content in it that our kids are watching, even as early as 1993, right, Ben? So what's this Animaniacs thing from 1993? You all remember Animaniacs if you're our age.
Sure. So, okay, I have to admit, Lindsay found this, and when I first watched it, I actually didn't get it. I'm like, what? And she kind of had to, Lindsay, you kind of had to like say it again, and then I had to watch it again, and then I'm like, oh, okay. That is kind of weird. I get it now. So let's just play it. And it has to do with fingerprints.
Fingerprints! No, no, no. Fingerprints. I don't think so.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. I was like, what's so bad about this? Like, but then I'm like, oh, fingerprints.
Yeah, and I understand what that means, but I don't. Maybe if I saw, like, I don't understand.
Okay.
Lindsay, maybe you want to speak up here and explain this to us, even though it's an uncomfortable thing to explain.
Why don't I play it again first?
No, I mean, you can, but it's not going to make more sense.
Yeah, it will. Actually,
I found prints.
I found prints.
No, no, no. Fingerprints. I don't think so.
So, Rob, you're still thinking fingerprints, but like prints, right? But
finger. No, I know what that could mean.
Anyway, it's just weird. It is weird. And I honestly literally had to have Lindsay explain it to me because I'm like, I don't get this joke. But I was like, I don't know.
No, I get it. It's just
But then when I watched the whole sequence, there's like a 40-second long one where they were like looking for fingerprints and everything, and they're going. And when I watched the long one, I was like, okay, now I can't.
That's just disgusting to put that. Like, if that's what they meant, that's totally disgusting to put that in a kid's show. Why would you do that?
I don't know, because that was created by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you guys, there's actually a lot of much more pointed examples in the new War on Children episode that we're publishing. We're going to have a watch party right after this on Rise.TV. Yeah, okay, so definitely. Why don't you start off with some of these child actors, Ben, that, you know, in Hollywood that have gone through a bunch.
Well, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. There's so many of these. And, I mean, should we start
with... We all know about Bella Thorne, basically, where, you know, she was young on the Disney Channel, and she says everyone knew she was being molested and did nothing. I remember this clip.
See, actually, I don't remember this.
I do.
You can play it. Okay, you have to...
It is what it is.
Wait, it's before like you play it, Lindsay, hold on. Just to warn you guys, there is some, like, pretty intense cursing in this, so just letting you know. Just...
Oh, yeah.
You
know, block your kids' ears if they're watching.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be watching this.
But for this episode, probably not. But okay, I just wanted to point that out just in case anyone's like gets offended by this. But you know, she's upset, and it makes sense why she's upset. You know, and I think this is really important to play though. Go ahead, Lindsay.
My life. I mean, if you read the book, you'll be like, transitioning from Disney to this was fucking easy. I don't know. Getting molested for fucking from your 6 to your 14 seems like way harder circumstances, or being physically abused all the time seems like a much more difficult situation than fucking have paparazzi following you since you were 12. I don't know. I was still being molested when paparazzi were still fucking following me. So it's pretty hard in my mind to think about these big flashlight photographs and everyone thinking they know me and talking about me, but having no idea the type of mistreatment that I was still dealing with at that time, that everyone around me saw and did nothing. So I don't know. You tell me what's so hard, because that to me, way harder than any other of this other shit that I do on a daily basis.
What the wait, expression on that
playing.
Girl?
Keep playing it. Keep playing it.
Somebody just said goosebumps.
She's like, she has no idea because I think it doesn't show the question. And I think she asked the question, how does it feel to have all the paparazzi around you all the time? I think that's the question. And that's how she answered it.
And she didn't expect that answer. So she was just like, what do I say?
What do I say?
So this is, you guys, who this is. This is Bella Thorne. She was on the Disney Channel at a young age, basically. Yeah. She was in some of their flagship shows.
I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm just laughing at, you know, it's like that girl. It's like, this is just how naive some journalists can be. It's just like, you know, it's just stupid questions that people want to ask. It's like, oh, how does it feel this? How does it feel that? And really, a lot of times, if you really sit down with like famous people, they don't want to answer these kinds of questions. You know, they just want to like talk about life, not necessarily like what's it like to be famous, you know. It's just
there's a few more here that are, so Amanda Bynes is someone that everybody there's a name that everyone recognizes, and she accused her father of sexual abuse in a series of tweets, then recanted saying the microchips in her brain made her say them, but he's the one who ordered them to put the chip in the first place. And here's the series of tweets right here, you guys. So for those of you at home listening on podcast or whatever, we're actually showing all these tweets. We'll read a few of them. My dad was verbally and physically abused. Oh, can you get rid of that? My dad was verbally and physically abused to me as a child. I need to tell the truth about my dad. He called me ugly as a child and then asked me if I wanted to have sex with him. And I did not know how to respond. And I said no. And then I was forced to live with my dad, which was a total nightmare. My dad fondled himself in front of me so many times that I started recording him on my phone in hopes of catching him saying or doing something inappropriate around me so I could get him arrested and put in jail for the rest of his perverted life. My mom knows that my father's literally and physically incestual towards his own daughter, and the fact that she never called the police on him embarrasses me to no end. So today I am meeting with a lawyer to get a restraining order against my dad. I cannot hear the sound of his incestually charged voice ever again, and I'm just being honest. I will not be manipulated or brainwashed by anyone anymore. So let me live my own life free of unhappiness and misery. Wow. So call me what you want, but please do not call me crazy or insane, because that's a joke. Okay, and then here's what she said in the recant. My dad never did any of those things. The microchip in my brain made me say those things, but he's the one that ordered them to microchip me. Oh, lordy. Obviously, that's somebody called her and told her to do that.
Yeah, it's so and that's
honestly reminds me a lot of Britney Spears, that whole thing there, you know, where we don't know how controlled these people are. Like, I don't know if you guys at home have watched this show, The Boys. That's on Amazon Prime. Crazy show. It's about like how superheroes would be if they were real. Like it's basically like it's about the deep state, honestly. But anyway, and I don't mean the deep state or superheroes. I just mean how corrupt people are behind closed doors is what I'm saying. But anyway, how like these parents will groom their children into being superheroes and stuff like that. And the children almost have like they're no choice in the matter and how they get brought up, and they're controlled by their parents a lot. And there's a little bit of that in there. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, another person that I was surprised to see on this list, but that I've kind of known about was Anthony Kiedis. Right. So Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis slept with a 14-year-old when they were on tour, and he was 23, according to his own autobiography. He dated a 16-year-old when he was 24. The next day, says, quote, "The next day we drove to Baton Rouge, and of course she came with us," Kiedis wrote. "After we got off stage, she came up to me and said, 'I have something to tell you. My father is the chief of police, and the entire state of Louisiana is looking for me because I've gone missing. Oh, and besides that, I'm only 14. I was incredibly scared because in my somewhat deluded mind, I knew that if she told the police, the chief of police, she was in love with me, he wasn't going to have me taken out to a field and shot, but I did want to get her the hell back home right away. So we had sex one more time." What? Yeah. That's like, he was raped by his father's girlfriend himself when he was 14. So he himself was raped when he was 14 by his father's girlfriend.
So weird, man. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, if you guys want to watch, yeah, there it is. And now Anthony Kiedis to this day is still like, has a really, really hard drug problem. Really, he's really,
yeah,
all the time.
Actually,
yeah, go ahead.
Interesting fact, when so Seth's brother, who's now, he passed away, Chris, in 2005-ish, maybe six. No, it was 2006 when he went into rehab. It was like somewhere between 2006, 2008. He was in rehab. He was actually doing really well at that point. But he was in California for a while, and he was in the AA meeting in California, and Anthony Kiedis was at his in his group.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Not surprised. That was Chris.
He said he was pretty quiet. Like, you know, he wanted to talk to him and stuff, but it's like, you know, they're in AA. And the group was talking to each other, but, you know, it's like, you just gotta be respectful. But he said, it was like, and then he said, like, he got picked up by some like supermodel blonde chick or something. So I'm like, well, at least she wasn't underage.
So, okay. Well, so a couple of other things, guys. A good documentary to watch is a documentary called An Open Secret. So we're going to drop a couple of things before we go over to rise.tv and have like we're going to drop a few more things over there and then have the watch party at 9 p.m. sharp. So a couple of things. One is An Open Secret, good documentary to watch. There's a lot. What I would pay attention to more than anything in this documentary is the amount of leads in the documentary to find out more information and do your own research, because it will open up big rabbit hole. Another person that I think is like, so there's been a list of directors who've had issues. Who was the X-Men guy? He was actually talked about in An Open Secret.
Oh my gosh. The director. His name just.
Okay. Well, anyway,
Brian
Singer.
Brian Singer. Okay. Yes.
So Brian Singer is another dude. Okay. Now, Woody Allen married his adopted daughter. Very strange. Now, probably of all of the directors that I can think of, and we don't even know what some of these other directors are up to, but Roman Polanski is. So in 1977, he pleaded guilty to sex with a 13-year-old girl and fled to Europe to avoid getting put in prison. Now, Roman Polanski's wife was also killed by the Manson family, Sharon Tate. I think that was her name. So his wife was killed by the Manson family. So he was in that whole drama. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fled, went over to Europe. And then he's the guy that wrote The Ninth Gate, which is basically like the deep state's Finding Jesus movie, which is them finding Satan really in that movie. It was the search for Satan. It was all about the Necronomicon, the Delamonicon, which they called in that movie. And so, you know, him writing all of this and knowing about this and kind of unveiling what their belief is about these satanic books and all of that stuff was just kind of more incriminating in my mind in terms of like who he is and what these people are really about. And, you know, the whole Manson family thing, you know, Charles Manson's life, he was a part of that whole Frankfurt Institute thing. Right. And then somehow this like dirty criminal becomes the head of the Manson family. And he's serving prostitutes to like bigwigs in Hollywood. And it's like hip to be a part of this like movement that he has going on. And then, you know, a bunch of people die. He gets thrown under the bus and then has a conversation with Ted Bundy while he's in jail. That sounds like mysteriously like these two are aware of one another in a really strange way, which is also very weird, right?
Super weird.
So anyway, just a few things over there. And I think it's a good time now to go over to Rise TV. We're going to hang out with our people at Rise. And all of you over here, I think, I just kind of want to say, like, you know, if you liked hearing our research into trafficking, Les Wexner, Jeffrey Epstein, and all of that stuff while we were here on Rumble, you're definitely going to want to hear what we have to say over privately on Rise.tv. We're going to finish out this topic and then have a live watch party at 9 p.m. where we're going to watch all of the premiere of the newest Edge of Wonder series, The War on Children. And it's all about the sexual content that's in kids programming. Okay. And so you're going to want to see this to know what our kids are dealing with. And, you know, in case you didn't know, children are being programmed and groomed by hidden sexual content and subliminal messages. And we thought this topic was really important to talk about after we did a big deep dive on it. And we have two episodes coming out all about it. So you can hear all of that crazy research that we did. And you can let us know what you guys think in the live chat with us tonight, live on Rise.tv. We'll be playing a clip from the first War on Children episode now, right now, before we leave Rumble. And if you want to come hang out with us to see the episode, please come and subscribe. Think about supporting our work over at Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month. Honestly, that's like 1/10 of a tank of gas now. Seriously. And for all of you already on Rise.tv, thank you guys very much. You're the reason why we can keep the lights on and do what we do. And stay tuned because you're about to hear some information that will blow your mind that we really can't talk about anywhere but our own private platform.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's more things about Woody Allen related to this documentary. So I kind of wanted to get into that. So we'll definitely be talking about that on Rise and more about like on Andrea, what's her name? How do you pronounce it? Grande? Ariana Grande. Is it Grande?
But maybe
or
she is an Andreana Grande. Andreana. We don't know.
Anyway, so there's very crazy things related to her and a bunch, man, there's like, this is like never ending about all these different people in Hollywood and all these children. We have a lot more information on them. We're going to get into, including the guy that played Elmo and more with all of this. So
that was a creepy voice, dude. The Elmo voice, man, creepy.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Super weird. And more on the X-Men stuff too. There's another X-Men actor. He was a really small time actor, but he also is involved in all of this too.
Singer was known to invite these people on set. So we'll have to see.
That's what they say. So we will see.
Well, you guys come hang out with us on Rise and definitely check out our War on Children series coming out premiere tonight at 9 p.m. on Rise.tv.
After this episode, after our live, we'll play that right away.
Straight in.
We'll be in the chat with you guys.
That's right.
Do you think it's appropriate to tell sexual jokes to children?
Ben, I don't think it's appropriate to tell sexual jokes to me. Do you think that hidden nudity, subliminal messages, and innuendos should be included in cartoons?
Probably not.
Mm-mm.
But do you think that the media and broadcasting networks should expose children to adult themes because the companies knows what's best?
I'm getting pukey now. Did you grow up watching Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, and Cartoon Network and can say you never saw anything questionable?
Well, the 90s were 30 years ago now.
We are old.
We are. So you may not have noticed all of the things that were exposed to back then. But did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
There's a war on children, and its weapon is right in your own home, the television. From family-friendly shows normalizing pedophilia to animated sexual situations and more, this is more urgent than we ever imagined.
Join us here on Edge of Wonder with me, Ben.
And me, Rob.
As we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed. We'll get into hidden messages you forgot about, the examples you've never seen before, and what the end game behind it all really is.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality, and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
Well, hello.
Hey.
Ben. Welcome back.
I'm not sure what happened there. But yeah, welcome.